Hey guys, I'm Eric McLean.
And I'm Kelly Gramlich. It's time to talk some ACC sports.
Let's go.
Happy Wednesday, everyone. Welcome into the Gramlich and McLean podcast brought to you by Traeger Grills. We have a very unique episode, the first episode that we've done like this today, so we're very, very excited. Mac, it's our first ever Coaches Roundtable episode. We have two great coaches joining the pod. Both are about to start play in the NCAA tournament. Eric McLean, why don't you tell the people who these coaches are?
Come on. First of all, Coach Brad Brownell from the Clemson Tigers, amazing coach, been there a long time. Now we're starting to see some success on the back end. And then Coach Mike Young at Virginia Tech, what he's been able to do at Blacksburg, really, really been impressive.
It's popping.
It is popping.
It's
like
popping.
Orville Redenbacher. Come on. If you know what we're talking about, if you don't know, you need to figure it out. But guys, what we're trying
Orville,
to do personally.
I went like the that lip gloss song that was popular when we were in eighth grade or something.
That's right.
That's where my mind went. Okay, continue, Mac.
That's right. Well, guys, we are trying to get to 100 ratings on our podcast. Please help us out. Tell your family, tell your friends, check out the podcast, give it a ranking, a little review. It's always fun to hear from you guys on that. And it just helps other people find it. So please do that. Help us out.
We're trying to get to 100. We're at 75, so it's just a couple more. We appreciate all the ratings and the reviews we've already had. And like Mac said, post about it on social. Tell your friends. We would appreciate that. We've got a lot of great guests coming and just, you know, excellent basketball talk throughout the rest of this month. And then our off-season guests, y'all stay tuned. We have lined up some really, really good ones, so you're going to want to get ready for that. Let's get into our guests for today and our coaches roundtable. We're so excited for you to hear from these two great coaches. Let's start with Coach Brad Brownell, who has been the head coach at Clemson since 2010, has led the Tigers to three NCAA tournament berths, including a Sweet 16 in 2018, as well as three NIT berths. He holds the record for the most wins in Clemson history with 201 victories. Brownell has coached the 2014 ACC Defensive Player of the Year in KJ McDaniels, who still couldn't beat me in horse when we were in college, and the ACC Skip Prosser Award winner in this year's leading scorer, Amir Sims.
We're also going to be joined by Mike Young, Coach Mike Young at Virginia Tech. This is his second season there, and he has the Hokies back in the NCAA tournament once again. Before taking over in Blacksburg, Young won 299 games as the head coach at Wofford in his 17 seasons there in Spartanburg. He also coached Fletcher McGee. And if y'all don't remember Fletcher, he was lighting it up from anywhere on the court that he stepped on. He actually broke Steph Curry's SoCon record for most career three-pointers. Coach Young coached Keve Aluma to breakout year with the Hokies, and they finished third place in the ACC this season.
Let's start with Clemson head coach Brad Brownell.
This week's guest is brought to you by Traeger Grills. Welcome to the Traegerhood.
All right, Coach Brownell joining us here. His Tigers getting ready for the NCAA tournament in Indianapolis. Coach, I feel like it's got to be a good feeling for you as a Midwest guy from Indiana to be playing the NCAA tournament in Indiana. I know it's going to be weird because it's all in one space and that's odd, but it has to feel good, kind of like a homecoming for you.
Yeah, it does. You know, I've said before, I'd much rather be going to a site like San Diego.
Not bad.
A couple of years ago, and that was a lot of fun with fans and, you know, families and boosters and just everybody. That was those are the great experiences that you really want for your players. But I'm excited to be here. It's, you know, this has always been a great venue. They do things first class. They'll make the best of it. Certainly, it's a little awkward now with we're all kind of quarantining, and obviously personally it's good because I've got a lot of, you know, friends and family and old fraternity brothers and all kinds of folks that I've been getting a lot of texts from and conversations with, some guys coming to games, some guys wanting tickets, and, you know, a lot of people watching. So that part's really neat. And, you know, so I'm excited to get into the tournament and see what we can do.
No doubt about it. Coach, I want to just go ahead and jump into this matchup with Rutgers. You guys are a 7 seed. I think what was interesting about kind of Clemson's situation, at least when we're talking about projecting, and that there was just stuff all over the board. And to finally, I guess, know where you're going, know the seed, know the matchup. What are you guys thinking about your side of the bracket? Because I'm encouraged with it. I think it's a great draw.
I think the 7, 10, 8, 9 are very similar. I mean, we're very similar to Rutgers. It's, you know, 6 of one, half dozen the other. But that's, you know, in this situation, that's a great situation to be in. You're playing a team that is good. Everybody's good, though, in these tournaments. They've all had success. You've had to earn your way in here. They've had some great wins in the Big Ten. You know, lost a couple games they probably wish they had back, just like we lost a couple we wish we had back. But by and large, you're going to play somebody that's very competitive. These guys are very physical, defensive-minded, a lot like we are. They get after you. They're going to get in passing lanes. They're going to press you full court. They're going to mix in some defenses to you know, kind of change some tempo. You know, in looking at their team and talking to some folks that know them, Young as a point guard is one of the best, if not the best, defensive point guard in the Big Ten. And Miles Johnson, the big kid inside, is, you know, a lot of people have said he's the best defensive center in the league. So I think, you know, from that standpoint, you know, you're playing against a very good, aggressive defensive team. You know, we pride ourselves on competing defensively, and most nights do a really good job of that as well. So that's probably the calling card for both. It should be an exciting matchup that way. And obviously, whichever team takes care of the ball and makes more shots is going to win.
Yeah, two similar teams. That's what I find very intriguing about the matchup. And, Coach, I want to ask you about Amir. I know you've had so many questions about Amir over the last 4 years, and you don't mind answering them because he's been such a great part of your program. The Skip Prosser Award, that is a big deal. And I was so excited and just happy for Amir, knowing him a little bit, to see him win that. What was that? What did that mean to you to see him win that award?
Well, it means a lot. I don't think our fan base fully understands it.
Right.
It's you know, it's probably the most prestigious award that you can win in our league in men's basketball. Obviously, it talks about being a well-rounded student athlete, and that's what we're, you know, trying to produce. And, you know, oftentimes, you know, a guy who's one of the top 10 players in your league probably isn't, you know, a really good student all the time. And so sometimes those guys don't win it. But to have a guy who is such an exceptional player, who's also taking the academic part of his, you know, college career very seriously, you know, means a lot. And to be honest with you, Amir didn't come into college that way. He was a, you know, he was a fine student, but he wasn't, you know, really challenging himself all the way to be his best. And I think that's something that in our program, we really talk about with our players. We, you know, we want them to be their best in everything they do, not just basketball. And, you know, we talk a lot about being your best, whether that's, and we want you to fight for a B in the class and not just settle for a C, or, you know, try to work for an A. And obviously, I think it speaks to the academic support that we have over in Neary. Leslie Moreland Bishop, our academic advisor, has had a good influence on Amir. I think our coaching staff, we really pride ourselves on understanding and knowing what our guys are doing in class and how well they're doing and pushing them to do better. And we had six guys on the All-ACC academic team, and, you know, highlighted by Amir, which, again, winning an award that is really the most prestigious in college basketball in the ACC.
I love it, Coach. And I think you're right. I think not enough people either understand or appreciate what that award is. And a guy like Amir to win that, it's really cool to see. I remember back on his recruiting trip, maybe the first time that he was at Clemson, and meeting his family and how great they were. I want to kind of stay on Amir, but also hit kind of your general offense and maybe a plan of attack. I think when he is the guy, when he's the alpha, scoring a lot of points, the offense going through him, he's leading you in points, rebounds, and assists, I think that's when Clemson is at their best. But in your opinion, because that's which one matters the most, what do you want to see from your guys?
Coach Mack thinks he's a basketball analyst now, which he kind of is. Mack, he knows his hoops.
I pay attention.
I've listened to him a little bit on background.
There we go.
That's right.
He throws a little bit out there. He's pretty good. We are playing our best when Amir's playing well, just because the ball's in his hands so much. And conversely, when he struggles, it's more difficult for us to win. And, you know, there were some times there when he maybe did struggle for a couple of weeks, and was a little bit during COVID, and we had to kind of, you know, get back to like, hey, man, we need you to play well. Like, I know you're trying to be a great leader and all that, but let's do a little less leading and a little more playing, and let the coaches do some more leading and coaching. And you know, he's such a gifted guy in terms of understanding how to play. You know, he can pass, he can dribble, he can shoot, he can score around the hoop. This is a game where he's going to have to play all over the court, and he's going to have to play away from the basket a lot because their center is one of the dominant defensive players in the Big Ten, and it's going to be hard to score at the rim. He's got 7'6" wingspan. He blocks shots, and he really moves well. And the funny thing is when you watch film on him, he steals all kinds of passes that teams throw into the low post. Like his long arms, he's got good feet, and he kind of baits you into making a little soft pass in there, and he steals it. So Amir's going to have a big game, but we need to move him around like we do most games, and he's going to have to make some threes, and he's going to have to do some things to help other guys score, whether it's screening or passing.
I was actually going to kind of follow up with that on talking about how good that guy is defensively for Rutgers. Is it almost – you know, the best offense you can show is Amir being a diversion, or is he just going to have to be involved? You can't just set him aside and trying to get that guy out of the paint.
No, he's going to have to be involved. He's just going to be involved, I would assume, more away from the basket than around the basket. I think we'll have to mix in sometimes when we can get him around the basket. But I think he's going to have to play well from the perimeter. And again, some of that's going to be his screening away from the ball. We've been doing more and more motion screening kind of midway through the year when we kind of were going into our COVID phase there. One of the things that we tried to do to change to finish the year a little bit better was to go to some more motion and get Amir on the move screening for other players. And I think that's been good for us. And I think he'll have to do some of that in this game.
That's interesting. All right, Coach, last one for you. We know you've got a lot to get to there in Indianapolis to get ready. Alex Hemingway is a player that really intrigues me. And, you know, I love shooters. I love threes, as you know, Coach. So he's a guy that it's really interesting to me because even when he wasn't shooting the ball that well earlier in the year, you kept him on the floor. You were starting him. You wanted him on the floor. So we know he can shoot it. But what else does he do for you? Because he's a player I'm keeping my eye on this tournament.
Well, he's more efficient than people realize. And what I mean by that is Alex doesn't over dribble or try to do too many things that he's not good at. He stays in his lane. He plays to his strengths. And I think there are so many college kids that are trying to prove themselves. And what they end up proving is that they turn the ball over a lot, you know, and trying to make too many plays. I tell, you know, guys in college, everybody, when you recruit a kid out of high school, all their people, their handlers, their coaches, the kids, they all want to, I want to expand my game. I want to be able to do this. I want to showcase my talents. I want to come off ball screens. I want to shoot threes. I want to initiate the offense. I want to bust it out on the break. And then you talk to the NBA guys and what they tell you is we're going to take your game and we're going to simplify it. And you're going to specialize in one thing and get really good at this one thing. And if you want to make the NBA, that's what you better be good at. If you can't be great at something like one thing, you're never going to make it. They don't need guys doing all that. There's going to be 25. There's like 25 superstars and 200 role players in the NBA. That's really what it is. And so your role, whatever it is, you better excel at it. Alex Hemingway is the example of a guy who's trying to excel at his role, making shots. If he doesn't have a shot, he's going to give you a quick shot fake and he's going to throw the ball right into the post to Amir in about 1 second. He's not going to stand there and look at it. He's not going to dribble it between his legs three times. He's going to efficiently get the ball where it needs to go. And then he's going to start moving again to try to get himself on the move to get another shot. Now, what I think Alex has to do, and this is going to take another year of strength and athleticism improvement and skill level development, he's got to be able to create more on his own. Occasionally does it now, but so much of us trying to get him shots, we've got to screen and do all this work, call plays to get him open. And that's harder when you play teams after a while who scout you and start to take you out of certain actions. And so he's got to become a little bit more of a creator at times. And I think as he, you know, gets a little bit older in his career, I think you'll see that. But what we really like about him is that he plays the game the right way. He plays it efficiently. He plays to his strengths. He's improved defensively a lot this year. Last year, he was really a liability. This year, he's done solid work defensively. And again, I think he'll take another jump there when he gets stronger. But those are the things that I really like. And I think he's a little bit of an X factor for us and that we need him to score in double figures if he's going to play 20, 24 minutes. He needs to get to double figures. And when he does, that usually is a great recipe for our success.
Yeah, when he does, y'all pretty much win. So we'll see if that happens against Rutgers. Okay, Coach, I lied. Last question. You have had,
I'm happy to give you guys a few extra minutes. We
have it's okay. It's all good. Hey, it was highly entertaining seeing Ben Winterowd, the Clemson SID, sprinting through the hotel. That's what we need. You have been a guy that has had, so I'm rocking a blazer right now. I've got an ACC Network show tonight. You have had some good blazer game, coach. All right. You got the plaid blazer. You'll whip something out. How do you feel about this casual attire for coaches? Are you sticking with it? What's your plan going forward?
You know what? I don't know. I've been a big fan of it. You know, it's so much easier. And it's so much easier when you go on the road and you're not carrying an extra suit bag and you're packing all your stuff and, you know, your fancy shoes and all your stuff that you got. And then my wife having to, hey, honey, which tie do you like better? This orange one with the stripes or just the plain orange, which that has been the best thing for her this year is that I haven't the blue shirt with the orange tie, the white shirt with the purple tie. Which, and then I usually pick the other. So that part has been really good. I would love for us to continue to dress casual, but you know, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see what it looks like.
Mac, you could be Coach B's consultant. I don't know if you can see behind Mac, he's got all of his blazers back there. So if you need, you know, if Mrs. B gets a little tired of it, you know, you can just text Mac.
Just hit me up anytime.
Hey, I'm getting through COVID. I'm probably disappointed to admit that I'm starting to get much closer to being able to wear Mac.
Oh no,
Mac blazers. So
that's not good.
COVID has not been good to me. So like, I'm going to tell you that. The stress of the season, I've got a little work to do here once basketball ends.
Well, you just let me know. I can get these to you quickly. You just let me know which one you want.
That was
awesome.
Good.
Thank
Coach,
you,
that
Coach
was awesome.
B.
Thank you so
good
much.
Good to be with you guys.
Yes,
appreciate
sir.
You both. You
good luck, brother. Great. We appreciate y'all.
Okay, guys.
Appreciate you taking the time, Coach. Good luck.
Wow, Kelly, that was such great insight from Coach Brownell. Really appreciate him diving into the matchup and, you know, kind of giving us a little behind the scenes on what Clemson's going to try to do. That game will be Friday night, 9:20 p.m., so you got to stay up late on TBS. Kelly, I don't know if you can do that, but it's March. We sleep in May on this podcast, Kelly.
I knew you were talking directly to me, and it's so funny because I called you last night doing some show prep. I was asking you a question, and I said, Mac, are you asleep? Because it was 10:30, which is past my bedtime. And you, I'm serious, guys. Mac deadpan. He goes, Kelly, we sleep in May. Oh, man, I lost it. It was hilarious.
Listen, Eric McLean, John Rothstein, we're on the same level when it comes to this month. But I want to tell you guys quickly as we kind of transition to our next interview about our great friends over at Traeger. And guys, nothing beats the taste of food cooked over wood. It's an absolute fact. Traeger Grills has revolutionized outdoor cooking, and it starts by using a controlled convection heating system so you can cook literally anything on your Traeger. It's so simple to use. I just set the temperature, the time, and I let my Traeger do all the work. The best part about my Traeger grill is that nothing ever gets too smoky, too dry, or too charred like they used to with my old gas grill. Whatever I'm grilling always comes out perfectly. Find your local Traeger dealer today by visiting TraegerGrills.com/ACC.
All right, guys, it's time to get it poppin' with Virginia Tech head coach Mike Young. All right, Coach Mike Young joining us here from Indianapolis. Coach, is there anything better? It's tournament time. Your team's in the NCAA tournament. You're getting ready to play in the best sporting event that we have. I feel like you're in a good mood.
Kelly, I could not be in a better mood. I've been blessed to have the opportunity to do this six times. I had nothing to do with it. I've had a lot of really good players throughout my career. This is the greatest tournament of them all. And to have the opportunity to bring a team here or wherever they may send you is truly a mountaintop experience. I compare it to Oz. I've never been to Oz, but if it's any better than the NCAA tournament, I'd like to do it one day. This is the ultimate, and thrilled to be here representing Virginia Tech.
No doubt about it. Well, let's talk about one of those players and a guy named Keve Aluma, who at one point I was making the argument for ACC Player of the Year. And I know the COVID pause has kind of hurt his momentum, but this is a player you brought him from Wofford. He sat out and then he has just transformed into this dynamic player. Tell us more about Keve's evolution and really what you guys worked on during that transfer year?
It's been an interesting evolution as maybe I've been a part of in my time as a head coach, 19 years. He came to us from Berlin, Maryland, as a little heavy, no definition in his body, just a kid, you know, 18-year-old young man that had not played a lot of basketball. Mm-hmm. We expected to redshirt him. His mom, who I love dearly, Bethany, insisted that we redshirt him. But this kid's making plays in October, November at our early practices. And I called her and I said, Bethany, he's going to help us win games now. So he played, and he probably played 10 to 15 minutes a game as a freshman. He helped our team, showed some, you know, real signs as a defender and a rebounder. Then as a sophomore, I had a really good player. We went on a foreign tour to Portugal and had a kid get hurt. And we didn't have another four-man. And Keve steps in as what I thought was a five. He stepped in and was remarkable. Had a really good year for us. But again, he was a defender and a rebounder. He had 11 rebounds in the round of 32 against Kentucky with the biggest front line I've ever seen in college basketball. He wants to come to Virginia Tech, and it all worked out. I wanted him to come to Virginia Tech, and he worked. All right, he worked. Okay, he averaged 6 or 7 points a game as a sophomore. He came here, he took 1 3-point shot as a sophomore, and I'm sure that was wasn't anything I drew up, let me assure you that. I didn't want him shooting it, but that guy came to Blacksburg and he worked, and he wants to be a great player. He's very conscientious. He is a absolute joy to coach, and to see what he's done with his game offensively is pretty special. And it's been fun to witness that and to be a part of his journey as a basketball player and as a human being. He's a great one.
I think there's no question he is well on his way if he's not already. I think the next year, you know, the player of the year hype, the preseason player of the year, it's all going to be there. And it's great to see stories like that of people who have just put in the work and the time and then get to reap the benefits. I want to ask you about another guy, Coach, who I think is, you know, kind of similar in that boat, and that's Justin Mutz. And I think specifically looking at that North Carolina game, I mean, he looked like a man possessed. Can we expect to see that moving forward, his aggression? I mean, just attacking the hoop, dunking on 7-footers. I mean, that was a great part of his game that, you know, I unfortunately wasn't able to see every game this year, but I don't think he was playing quite like that that we saw from North Carolina.
He was playing like that defensively. He was playing like that on the glass. Eric, and I probably should have corrected this or tried to change the course over the course of the year. Justin Mutz is a really good player. He has been a really, really good player for us. He's a great player in his own right, maybe overshadowed a little bit in terms of, you know, his entire game because of Aluma's development. But I'll tell you what now, I mean, that is a formidable front line for the Hokies, and do so many things with both of them. Justin Mutz is as well a great dude to coach. He's really, really smart, sometimes too smart for his own good. But I mean, we can do so many things with him, and he's been a game changer for us in an area that we were woefully inadequate in a year ago, you know, and to have those two guys side by side has been great for me.
Coach, these COVID pauses, like this season has just been absolutely absurd, especially for you guys. And I know, you know, it was contact tracing. It was all this stuff that's completely out of your control. How is your team feeling right now? I feel like there are some positives in that you may be more rested than pretty much any other team that you're going to face, especially a Florida team. How is your team feeling looking ahead, even with all these pauses behind them?
You know what, Callie, really, really good. We needed to play in the ACC tournament. Thank goodness we did. No matter the outcome, we had to get some things back, and we did that. The pauses are, you know, as you know, they're brutal. We haven't had a positive test since August.
Wow.
Player or staff. with a positive test. But the contact tracing is hard. It's hard to get your hands around, and our team has done a great job. You know, I think back to my, you know, years 18 to 22, and just so disruptive and so different as a college student, as a college experience. Our team has been, they've been great with the response. They've been great with how they've handled everything. And I've been incredibly impressed with, you know, with how they've handled themselves. And we're healthy. We're here. We're awaiting our second test before we can, you know, start moving around here and hopefully practice later today. So, you know, fingers, toes, you know, everything's crossed that we can get some more good news.
I love it, Coach. I want to transition a little bit off the court for a second. And on this podcast, Kelly and I both, you know, just very, you know, impressed with how you handled the situation with Tyrese Radford, with grace and understanding. And at the end of the day, I think that the goal of a college coach is to develop a young man or a young woman first, and then an athlete. And I think that's what you guys did in that situation. Can you just talk about, I guess, your thoughts on it and how we got to where we are, and understanding that, you know, at the end of the day, we're people that make mistakes, and to have that grace is very important.
I'm going to say very little about it, Eric. I've talked enough about it. All right. I love him. All right. Care about him. He made a stupid mistake. Let me tell you something, pal. All right. And go back 90 years when I was a college age guy. This old boy made some really bad mistakes, too.
That's right.
All right. Fortunately, when my old tail was going through college, there weren't a bunch of phones around. There wasn't Twitter stuff and social media. He made a mistake. I was not going to turn my back on him. Now, some of that was out of my hands. Virginia Tech. All right. That's a serious deal. But we all recognize that this guy's got it. He's got it. He's a good man. He is a great teammate. And I'll say it again, and I mean it. I love him. And, you know, we got through it. He's doing great. And that's all that matters.
That's awesome.
We appreciate it. Oh, go ahead, Coach.
We had already heard all of that and knew that, but I just wanted to see it and hear it right here, Coach. And I think I'm thankful for you that there's men like you out there that, you know, a kid makes a mistake. Oh, he's out of here. He's a distraction. No, let's learn from it. And let's teach this young man and let's help him and love him and get him back to where he needs to be. And I thought that was truly commendable and honorable that you guys did that. So just wanted to get that out there and thank you for that.
Let's talk about Florida, Coach. Let's talk about this matchup. Now, we could talk about a 10 seed, but we can get past that a little bit. Let's talk about the Gators. The Gators have some talented guard play. There's no doubt about it. Trey Mann is an absolute baller. What are you looking for in this matchup with Florida? I know you're just kind of digging into the tape, but what do you expect to see from the Gators?
Exceptionally well, Coach. Mike White is one of the best out there. Trey Mann, as you mentioned, he can cut you up. I mean, he's, you know, off the bounce, catch it and shoot it. Just a wizard in transition. Scotty Lewis, Appleby, the big kid in the post, Castleton. Kelly, the older I get, I can't remember names. I remember numbers.
Numbers, yeah.
Castleton has added a great deal to their team, a presence in the post, a kid that can block a shot. You know, a young man on the back line that that can cover up some, you know, mistakes and allows them to be more aggressive up top with their defense. You know, it's the Florida Gators. It's the Southeastern Conference. We have our hands full, but we do look forward to the competition.
Coach, I want to get a little bit of light as our last question here. What's the popcorn plan in Indianapolis?
I'm a bigger guy. Yet, Eric. I tell you what, buddy, I got so many things on my head right now. I
have no popcorn's up there. Come on, don't play with
it. I'm sure it is. We'll have it all dialed up. Don't sweat that.
That's good.
that NCAA tournament popcorn is even a little bit better than anywhere else. I look forward to getting over there. We got a couple of days left of preparation. We need it, and it'll be a ton of fun.
Coach, we appreciate your time. I know you're a very busy guy. I do want to add this, that I've mentioned this on the podcast, and I want to thank you. I got to call a Wofford game. It was actually when Fletcher McGee broke the record. It was an incredible game. The environment was awesome. And you were so kind to take the time afterwards and send me a message. And so I think it just speaks to the kind of person you are, investing in young people. And I just wanted to put that out there and say I appreciated that, Coach.
I remember the game. I listened to the broadcast. I watched it that night. And I thought you did a fantastic job. And you continue to do a fantastic job. I am enjoying watching your development as a, in this field. You're doing great, and I'm proud of you.
Appreciate you, Coach. Best of luck. Thanks for the time. And hopefully we'll talk to you sometime soon.
Thanks, guys. Have a nice day.
Huge thank you to our Traeger Grills guest of the week, Coach Brad Brownell of the Clemson Tigers and Coach Mike Young of the Hokies. The Hokies will actually play Friday as well. They play around noon at 12:15 on CBS, guys. You can't miss that. A bunch of great ACC teams playing all around Friday. So it's a good ACC day, guys. But I want to tell you how you can do yourself a huge favor. Go buy a Traeger Grill. I promise it's life-changing for the better. And once you do that, download their app, find them on social media at Traeger Grills. Kelly, they're always posting great recipes, great ideas for inspiration. You won't want to miss out.
Exactly right, Mac. I saw our guy EJ got himself a Traeger Grill. He's going to appreciate your advice there, Eric Backlane. We also want to give a quick shout out. Some people don't realize the SIDs and the work they put in behind the scenes. So thank you to the two SIDs who helped us secure these interviews. Ben Winterout at Clemson and Lance Dozier at Virginia Tech. We appreciate you guys very much and all of your hard work. And we appreciate our producer, Richmond Weaver, for all the work that he's doing with this podcast, he's putting the puzzle pieces together behind the scenes. Check out his podcast, Rich Take on Sports, wherever you get your pods. Coming up on Friday, like we said, this is a 3-pod week because it's March Madness, people. We will preview the women's tournament with Florida State interim head coach Brooke Wyckoff and North Carolina head coach Courtney Banghart. I am so excited to talk to these two of the most impressive coaches in the country. I cannot wait. The coaches roundtable continues.
It's been a lot of fun, but that's it for this episode of Gramlich and McLean, brought to you by our friends over at Traeger Grills. Thank you guys for listening. If you haven't already, go over to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast, drop a little 5-star rating, write us a review. We'd love to hear that and read that. But until next time, we'll see y'all.